Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11. As you're turning, I just want to tell you a story that I think will hopefully encourage you this morning. I can't tell you that it really ties into the message, but it's just something I want you to know about, and it kind of ties in with this fact. God is still on His throne, and missions is still continuing on. I think probably last time I was here, and probably some of the other guys from BIMI have told you about our Papua New Guinea Bible Project. How many have heard about the Papua New Guinea Bible Project? Okay, I assume. Let me give you a little update and tell you what God's doing. For those of you that do not know about this project, in short, the government of Papua New Guinea asked BIMI to come to Papua New Guinea and give a Bible to every school student in the entire nation. Now, there's a lot of background to this. One of the things that I love is that the government of Papua New Guinea came to the United States and bought a first edition King James Bible. That's one of the ones that's like that thick. Took it back to Papua New Guinea, sat it and displayed it in the center of their parliament building and declared that this is now the official Bible of Papua New Guinea. And every law that we make, we want it to be based on this book. By the way, I've been in that parliament building and have seen that Bible. Absolutely amazing. As they discussed the future of their country, they realized that the young people of their country were not interested in God. The morals were way down. All the things that were happening with the young people were very concerning. And they came to this conclusion as they discussed it, that one of the main reasons this was happening in their country is because God and the Bible was taken out of their schools. Interesting. I wish another country I know would come to that same conclusion. But as they came to that conclusion, they had heard what BIMI did in Fiji. We did a Fiji Bible project, and they said perhaps BIMI would do this here in Papua New Guinea. Obviously, we are thrilled to be able to pass out the official Bible of Papua New Guinea, the King James Bible, and it has been absolutely amazing what God has allowed us to do there. Right now, we have passed out a little over 750,000 Bibles to the school students of Papua New Guinea. Along with that, by the way, comes a gospel message. They sit them on the ground, and they sit there, and they listen, and we get to preach the gospel. Prior to giving them the Bible, we get to put in that Bible either a tract, or we stamp the Bible with the name and location, the contact information of the local independent Baptist church in their area. And this is what's neat for us at BIMI. See, we have BIMI missionaries that went to Papua New Guinea 30, 40, and even 50 years ago. Made some major inroads in Papua New Guinea. And as a result, many of those people that were won to Christ are now national pastors, and they're also people that sit in the parliament building and in government positions today. You see how God has brought all this together. So it's a neat thing for us. It's an amazing thing for us. You have to just understand the climate there as far as getting a Bible. When I say this, you all might be like, well, yeah, that sounds kind of neat. For them, it is a major deal. I'll tell you one story, and then I'll get into preaching God's Word. When I was over there in Papua New Guinea, we had the opportunity to go to a neighboring island, part of Papua New Guinea, to pass out Bibles there. And we were supposed to meet in the morning to get in the boat, and we were going to take it across the ocean and go to this other island. Well, I got there in the morning, I started looking around, and I'm counting, and there's about 15 of us guys there. And I'm looking at the boat in the water, and I'm thinking, you know, I would call that thing a skiff. I'm not sure you can get 15 guys in there. But we did. And all the way over, I sat with my knees pulled up to my chest because I had nowhere to put my legs. And I was sitting on basically bamboo slats in the bottom of this boat. And without getting really graphic with you, it was just very, very uncomfortable, okay? And imagine hitting those swells and coming down on the other side and just doing that. And so my obvious question after we got out on the ocean was this: how long is this trip? And so the response was, well, it usually takes about an hour to get from here to there. And I'm thinking, an hour? Wow, I'm not sure I can handle this, but God, I need your grace. Well, to make the long story short, 3 hours later, we landed on the island, and I was very sore. The man that I took with me from our business office at BIMI, he got sick. He lost his lunch halfway over. And in tight quarters, I'm praying, Lord, I want to keep my lunch. Please let me do that. And God did, praise the Lord. But we got there, and we started to walk to the school because the Bibles had already been taken there. As we were walking there, because by the way, I'm glad to be walking at this point because we're out of the boat, they came and they stopped us, and they said, no, they're going to bring a truck, and the truck will take you to the school. And we said, okay, that's fine. So we're waiting, and the truck shows up. Now, by the way, just don't picture like a Ford F-150 or, you know, Silverado. Nothing like that. Okay, and this was like a real truck. And on the bed of the truck was the just wooden planks that we were going to sit on, which, by the way, was even better than the boat. So praise the Lord. I'm not complaining. But they put us on this truck, and we said, and somebody asked, and I'm not sure where the answer came from, but they said it'd be about a 5-minute ride to the school. I said, well, this is great, because we're already really late. So we take off, we head towards the school, and you know, again, picture the roads. The roads here are smooth as glass compared to there. And so we're riding on this truck, and we're going, and this 5-minute ride turns into an hour and a half. We finally get there, and I'm thinking, okay, these high school students have left. They are gone. They're not going to be there. We're way late. So we get there and find out that they are still there. So we go to where the Bibles have been stored because, like I said, they were already there. And we start getting the Bibles, and we head in. What we found when we got there was 1,200 high school students who were sitting in the heat under a hot tin roof, sitting on the ground, and they were just sitting there waiting for us to come. I was amazed. And we got there. They were excited about us getting there. They put us straight on the platform, and we just, for the next 30 minutes, preached a gospel message to these young people. And by the way, it was amazing. You could have heard a pin drop. Not one person sent a text or got an email or did anything on their phone because they didn't have a phone. When we told them that we were going to give each of them a Bible of their very own, they broke out into applause and cheering as if they were at a football game and their team just scored a touchdown. You talk about something that'll touch your heart that you'll never forget. It was absolutely amazing to be part of that. Listen, I could go on. This story does go on, and I'm a storyteller, so I'm going to stop here. But just suffice it to say, God is doing an amazing work in Papua New Guinea. And these young people, they are doing what we've asked them to do. They're taking that Bible to the church that we've given them in that Bible with their families. They're showing up at church. They're getting saved. They're being discipled. They're being baptized. They're starting special Sunday school classes just for the people that are receiving these Bibles in these churches all around Papua New Guinea. These pastors are being invited to the public schools now to teach a Christian character class to the young people. Can you guess what the textbook is that they're using? The one that we just gave them. So pray with us. And one of the things that I'd ask you to pray about is the continuation of this project, because we have a long way to go. We're going to order 2 more containers, which will put us at 1.1 million Bibles by the time we're done. Now, you don't hear a preacher say this much. We don't need any money. Didn't that shock you? All right, no money, but we do need prayers. The money's been raised for the Bibles, but we need a lot of prayer to get them distributed in the next, we're going to say, several years. It just depends. COVID slowed us down, but it hasn't stopped us. Praise the Lord. They're still being passed out. And we're excited about what God's going to do. If you would, pray with us. And indeed, with God's help, we're going to move forward by faith. Thus, the title of the message this morning. So see, it does tie in with the message. It worked out all right, okay? Hebrews chapter number 11, the faith chapter in Scripture. Verse number 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this chapel service. Thank you for these few days that Barb and I have had to be here. Lord, as we've opened your word now, and as I have read it, Lord, I pray that your word would be able to do an amazing and an eternal work in our hearts and our lives today. Lord, there are a lot of things going on in our lives. This is Friday. A lot of things we're thinking about for the weekend. But Lord, would you help us to set aside those thoughts and those cares just for these next few moments to focus on what you have to say to us today. Lord, I'm asking for your help and for the filling of your Holy Spirit. And in advance, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about moving forward by faith. You know, we've come into this COVID season, talked about that yesterday, and sometimes some Christians that I've talked to, they're just kind of like sitting still. Hold on, what do we do? Well, let's wait this out. No. I believe the Bible teaches us that we are to continually be a people who are moving forward by faith. Don't let things stop us. Continue on. So that's the title of the message, and I'm going to use the main words of the title to serve as the points of the message. First of all, I want to talk to you about moving. The word moving is it's a word of action. And by the way, it's not moved, stop. No, it's moving. It's a continual thing. Moving is a word of action. We think about words like motion and going and things like that. The antonym of moving is inaction or immobile or stopping. So we are to be moving. I remember when I was growing up, especially as a teenager, I would get that thing that sometimes we refer to as sluggard syndrome. You know, I just kind of got lazy. And I grew up in the country, and we didn't actually live on a farm, but we raised our own beef, and we had horses and ducks and dogs and chickens and cats and guinea pigs and rabbits and a few other things that I probably have forgotten. So what I'm telling you is there was always something to be done, okay? And it was not uncommon, especially as a teenager, that my dad would explain to me very carefully, David, this is the job that I have for you to do. And he would explain what that job was, and he'd lay it out for me. Well, during those times that I had that sluggard syndrome, I would just kind of sit there, and I was listening. You know, I got the gist of what he wanted, and I just kind of, I guess, had this blank stare. I'm not really sure. And after my dad finished the explanation, and I just sat there and didn't move, didn't do anything, my dad would just say one word. He would say, "Move!" Boy, he got my attention, man. I was like, wow. And all of a sudden, the sluggard syndrome, it was cured instantly, you know. And I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. It had already been laid out for me. And now I had that motivation because I knew what was to follow if I did not move, okay? Now, as we think about this word move and moving, can I remind you, when it comes to the Great Commission, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has said to you and I, move! Can I use this word from Scripture? Go! Go! Over and over again, he says to go. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained ye that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Think about this. We talk about the Great Commission. We talk about all the things that are involved in it, and rightfully so, we should. We talk about all the aspects of the Great Commission and how important each one of them is. And indeed, they are important. But I remind you, unless we go, nothing else will be accomplished. It starts with go, and if we don't go, then we don't get to the teaching and the baptizing and all of the other things that come along with the Great Commission. So for you and I, hey, let's be careful about that sluggard syndrome. Let's move. We have a choice. We can indeed sit in doubt and apathy. We can just say, well, somebody will get to it. Eventually it'll happen. Or we can move forward by faith. You know, I think about 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, again, the context here is the resurrection chapter of Scripture. And as Paul comes to the end of that chapter, he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. By the way, you have your Bibles open there to Hebrews 11. Here's some examples of people who were moving forward by faith. Look at verse number 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, what? Moved with fear. And what did he do? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now remember, Noah probably had a few questions in his mind, like, Lord, what is rain? Lord, what is a flood? Lord, what does a boat that big look like? And Lord, what do you do with a boat like that after you get it built? But despite the questions that he probably had in his mind, the Bible says he moved. He didn't understand all the details of where all this was going to lead, but he had a general direction from the Lord, and he moved out of obedience to the Lord. I think about Abraham. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Can I say this? He moved. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Can you imagine as Abraham went and talked to Sarah and said to Sarah, Sarah, we're moving. Okay, where are we going? I don't know. I just have a general direction from the Lord and we're going to move. Because why? Well, the Lord said move. And he stepped out by faith. Again, not knowing all the details that were to follow, but he knew this is the step God said to take, and he moved. I'm also amazed at Abraham. Look at verse 17 there. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Wow. Can you imagine being Abraham and receiving from God the command to sacrifice your only son, the son that God had given to you, that son of promise? I can't imagine it. I'm just being transparent with you. I have two sons, and if God told me to sacrifice one of them, I'm not sure. I hope I would respond like Abraham, but we have to understand, Abraham's faith was so strong, he understood that even if he did sacrifice his son, God would raise him from the dead. That's some amazing faith. And see, Abraham said, hey, I don't understand all the details, but God has said to move. And you know what's interesting is you go back and read the account in the Old Testament, Abraham didn't come up with excuses. He didn't sleep in. He didn't, oh, I forgot this or I forgot that. The Bible says he was up early in the morning. He got all the things together that he needed and he moved and went to do what God told him to do. And we know the rest of the story. Praise the Lord for Abraham's faith and the example that he sets for us. I also thought about Philip. You know this story in Acts chapter number 8. Remember, there's a lot of souls being saved in Samaria. There's great things happening. People are being baptized. They're being healed. And by the way, any preacher I know wants to be in the midst of that and just continue right on with all of that, seeing that happen. And I'm sure that Philip was no different, but in the midst of all of that, God says, Philip, I want you to go to the desert. Don't you think the thought went through his mind? Lord, there's a lot of great stuff happening right here. Lord, the desert, there's just not a lot of people in the desert. But you know, I see no sign of hesitation in Philip. He's not questioning the Lord. Lord, I don't think I can do that. The Bible very simply says in Acts chapter 8, verse 27, and he arose and went. Can we say it this way? He moved. And when God speaks to us, we need to just simply arise and go. Move. Do whatever it is God's saying to us to do. As we move through this message, moving, there's our first word. The second word is forward. I want to remind you that just moving is not enough. You see, moving is a word of action. Forward is a word of direction. And it's important that we're moving in the right direction and that we're moving in the way that God wants us to move. First of all, number one, we must not move backward. Backward is not a choice for the Christian. And, you know, no, not trying to be negative towards the song, but hold the fort might be okay, but storm the gates is probably a little bit more appropriate. Move forward, forward, not backward. Don't run from God's will. You remember a man in the Old Testament named Jonah? He tried that, and it didn't work out so good. Discover what God's will is and don't run from it. Can I tell you this? God loves you and His will is the best thing you will ever experience on this side of eternity. Don't move backwards. By the way, don't retreat from the enemy either. I will promise you the enemy will fight you. It will happen. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We don't get rid of them until eternity. We have them here. They are constantly. We're in a battle. Don't retreat from the enemy. Keep moving forward. 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 Can I put it down where the rubber meets the road? Finish college. Do what God has called you to do right here. You know, listen, Satan's really good at saying, well, you know what, I'm not sure you're going to make it. You know, the grades haven't been the best this semester, and boy, you just haven't really had the time to study. Finances are getting a little tight. And well, you know, this family member is really kind of being critical about the school I'm in and what I'm... Hey, move forward, don't move backward. Do what God has called you to do. We must not move backward. I think about what Jude wrote. He wanted to write about the common salvation, but he said it was needful for him to write unto us and exhort us that we should what? Earnestly contend for the faith. You're in a battle. I'm in a battle. Ephesians 6, pick up the armor that God has given to us and let's move forward. Secondly, not only must we not move backward, we must not just move in place. You know, sometimes we can get on that spiritual treadmill. One thing I noticed about the treadmill, the scenery never changes. Never really get anywhere, you know? It just don't make any progress. And sometimes in our spiritual walk, if we're not careful, we can become satisfied with where we are. Let us never become satisfied with where we are. Let us never be satisfied with what's been done in the past. You know, we need to have, can I say it this way, a divine dissatisfaction with our spiritual walk. Always understanding that it's the Lord who is enabling us to walk and to move forward, but never satisfied with what's been done in the past, but moving forward for Him. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. By the way, Paul had a lot he could look back to in two different ways. He could say, man, Pharisee, of the Pharisees. Man, my knowledge is absolutely amazing. I'm in the eyes of man. You know, hey, I've been blameless. Paul said, you know what? That's in the past. Paul could have looked at in the past and said, you know what, man, woe is me. I've been killing Christians. I've been putting them in jail. God can't use somebody like me. Paul said, no. Neither the good or the bad, it's in the past. I'm not going to be worried about that. I'm going to be looking to the future, knowing God has something else for me to do for Him, and never be completely satisfied with where we are. And by the way, sometimes those past accomplishments, I'll tell you, we can get stuck in that. I read this quote. I think it's so good. The past is a great place to visit, but it's a terrible place to live. You know, I think the book of Hebrews says, hey, go back and visit the past, gain strength from the examples that are here, but that's not where to live, because the writer of the book of Hebrews, whether it was Paul or whoever it was, he says to the Hebrews, move forward. Don't be stuck in the past. And you and I need to understand and do that. By the way, if we just sit still and we really just kind of move in place, when you think about the exploding population of our world today, sitting still is basically moving backwards. And I don't want to do either one. I don't want to move backward. I don't want to move in place. Or number three, by the way, we're talking about moving forward. Let's not move sideways. Not to the right or to the left, but let's keep moving forward. There in Hebrews 11, look at verse number 29. By faith they, that is Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. You remember the story. What an amazing position that they were put into there. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, God's very clear. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That's what God said. Now you stop and think about this a minute. If you were part of the children of Israel, and I have an analytical mind sometimes, and I kind of have this a little bit of a spiritual imagination, a sanctified imagination, I hope, and I think about this, there were probably some people in Israel that were standing there, and they're kind of just taking it all in, looking at the Red Sea and thinking, man, there's no way we can get to the other side of that. They're kind of looking behind them, thinking about the enemy back there, and what do we do? Now, how are we going to, you know what, maybe we could go around this water. You know, and then some of them, I think they're coming, they're walking down this way. Moses, would it be okay if I went and checked down here? I think Moses is saying, no. God says not to the right. I think there's probably some of the other ones. They're coming over here. Well, maybe if we go this way, maybe we can get around the water over here to the left, and maybe there's a passageway over here. And Moses said, no, you come back over here. God said move forward. He didn't say to the right. He didn't say to the left. And then I think there's probably some of those in the congregation. They're saying, hey, do we have enough 5-gallon buckets around here? You think maybe we could just kind of bail the water out, maybe make a little path across there? Moses said, no, that's not the plan. God said, move forward. You remember what happened when they did? When they obeyed God, God worked a miracle. An amazing miracle, by the way. I tried to imagine what it must have been like when that wind started just blowing that water back, to see that water go up. And you understand that wall was not just, about this high. That wall was way on up there because there was more than 3 or 4 people that had to get across this thing. So you think about that water and how it moved back. I think I just would have stood there in amazement, watching God do something that was way beyond me. And then to be able to walk through, can you imagine that privilege? You understand, it was dusty. I'm not sure with all the dust that was going on, all the people that were walking, they probably had to wear their masks. You thought you were done wearing face masks, didn't you? I don't know, but can you imagine walking through there and experiencing all of that, seeing the water on both sides, the enemy that's behind, what God just did? And by the way, I don't know about you. One thing that I would do if I had the opportunity and I was part of that group, I'd be wanting to be right beside the wall of water. I don't know if you think about stuff like this or not. I'd want to touch it. I'd want to feel it. Is it cold? Is it wet? I'd be afraid to kind of poke it. I'd hate to be the one that caused the leak. That would be a little dangerous. I don't want to do that. But, I'd also be, looking to see if there's any fish in there. That's just kind of the stuff I'd be looking for. But can you imagine getting to the other side and then again watching God work, taking care of the enemy and seeing all that just happened? You know that those children of Israel told that story for years to come. Young people, I'm going to guarantee you will have a Red Sea experience in your life probably more than once. You're going to come up against something that as you come up against it, you're going to say, there's no way I'll ever get to the other side of this. This trial is too big. This thing is way beyond me. And you're going to know in your heart, God's saying to you, move forward. And you're going to say, God, I don't know that I can. And listen, you're going to be tempted to say, well, maybe we can get around to the right. Maybe we can get around to the left. Maybe we can go underneath. Maybe we can bail out the water. But you know God's saying, move forward. Let me encourage you. Move forward by faith. And I'll tell you what, it'll amaze you what God will do. Something that is way beyond any of us. And as you walk through, hey, don't miss any of it. Take it all in. See what God is doing and how He's working all of these things around for your good and for His glory. And as you get to the other side and you look back, all you'll be able to say is, thank you, Lord. Amen. And you'll gain strength from that experience. But let me tell you this, if you refuse to move forward, you'll miss the opportunity to experience God working in your life. You must move forward to experience God doing a miracle like the children of Israel experienced going through the Red Sea. Now I need to move on. Moving forward by faith. The last word, key word in our title here is the word faith. Faith, I believe, is a word of conviction. We've talked about a word of action, moving. We've talked about a word of direction, forward. I believe faith is a word of conviction. And by the way, if we have faith and if we have conviction, it will be followed by action, following the direction that the Lord has given to us. The word faith is talked about, obviously, all throughout Hebrews 11, but maybe the most well-known verse here is verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. When the Bible says the substance of things hoped for, that is a setting under, if you will, a foundation. Faith is to the Christian like a foundation is to a house. Completely essential as we walk forward for the Lord. But notice he says it's a substance of things hoped for. What's hoped for? Let me ask the question and make it personal. What is it that you hope for? What are you hoping that God will do in and through your life in the future? I don't know what it is. I can make it just kind of general here this morning and say this. I'm hopeful that God will use me in a great way during the rest of my life. I hope that you have that same hope for your life as well. Not just be a, can we say, mediocre Christian. Not just somebody that, well, we kind of live our life and do our thing. We try and be obedient. But I'm hopeful God will use me in an amazing way in His service. That's my hope. And another one of my hopes is that when I get to heaven, I can hear Jesus Christ say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And by the way, if I sit still in apathy, I will not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to move forward and move forward by faith and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And number two, it's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence, that's the word proof or conviction. It's an inward conviction, if you will. And by the way, it's an inward conviction that is based on God's word, not on our feelings. God has given us His word that we can 1,000% rely on Him. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to York, Pennsylvania? All right, pretty good number. It's a great place. I was born in York Hospital. I grew up in York. Now, for those of you who have never been to York, Pennsylvania, if I were this morning to bring up all of those people who just raised their hand onto the platform and I lined them up here, well, no, that's too crowded up here. Let's put them down here. If I lined them up down here, and I got each of them to give you a testimony of the fact that York, Pennsylvania actually does exist. That there really is a York, Pennsylvania. For those of you who have never been there before, and then if I also gave you that testimony, hey, I know there is a York, Pennsylvania. I was born there. I grew up there. I know all about it. And if you really didn't believe us, you could go to the internet because you know everything on the internet is true. And you could get, no, I'm just kidding. Listen. If all of those people who have been there and myself gave you that report, even though you have never been to York, Pennsylvania, dare I say, you would trust the evidence, you would trust the testimony that you heard, because you know it to be reliable, that indeed there is a York, Pennsylvania. You understand? God has given us His testimony. God has given us His evidence that what He says He will do, He will do. God's word is always right because it comes from a God who is always right, who is all-knowing, who is all-caring, who wants our best, who wants to see us do great and mighty things for Him, by Him, and through Him. Oh, dear friends, we need to trust Him for those things, that evidence, the Bible says here, of things not seen. What things are not seen? Well, the future. What's going to? I've asked a bunch of you already since I've been here. Well, what happens after graduation? And some of you, you didn't say it out loud, but your look was, "I just hope there's graduation." But my question was, what happens after graduation? My idea there is, hey, what's in the future? What? How do you plan to serve the Lord? Well, those are things that at this moment are not seen. But the evidence from God's word is that as you move forward for Him, there will be that ministry that God has just for you. And He will go with you to accomplish that mission. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." We often quote that verse of those things that are not seen concerning heaven, but can I just bring it back here to earth? There's some things right now that are not seen in your heart and life, and you don't know exactly what God has for you out there, but let me tell you, based on God's word, He already has it prepared for you. It's ready. He says it's there. The question is, are we willing to move forward by faith? Can I remind you of one last thing this morning? Again, from our passage of scripture that we're looking at, We can move, and we can move forward. But if we do not move forward by faith, we do not please God. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says it very plainly, but without faith, it is impossible. Did you catch that word? Impossible to please Him. We're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And the great thing that I love about all of this is that those who do walk by faith, God rewards them. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All the things that God has prepared for you and I for the future, we don't necessarily know exactly all those details, but we see so many examples from Scripture of people who, in the same way, did not know all the details of the future, but knew that general direction that God wanted them to go. And God said, move. And you know what they did? They moved. And they, as they moved forward by faith, experienced the reward of God because of their obedience. Here's our opportunity. Will you join me in moving forward by faith?